This is Amy Goodman. Thanks for listening to Democracy Now! This morning on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned now for Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer.
The FCC wants to allow media giants to buy up more and more TV and radio stations, stifling independent viewpoints and threatening our democracy. The head of the FCC promised to hold public hearings before making new ownership rules, and some of us think one of those hearings should be in Kansas City. To find out more and to sign on to a petition asking for a Kansas City hearing, go to www.petitiononline.com/KCFCC07.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Good morning and welcome to Tell Somebody. The views and opinions expressed on Tell Somebody are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the station or anyone else involved with it. This is your host, Tom Clammer. If you have any comments or questions on the show, send me an email to tellsomebodyradio@yahoo.com. If you follow electronic voting issues at all, you're probably familiar with bradblog.com. I had a long conversation with Brad Friedman of Bradblog on Wednesday, and we'll play as much of that discussion as we can fit in the show. And a brief note, voting activist Phil Lindsay called me last night and said there will be a petition campaign for a Missouri initiative for hand-counted paper ballots for Missouri. They just about have all their ducks in a row on that, and I should be able to give you more information and a website about that on next week's show. So keep an ear out for hand-counted paper ballots in Missouri. Brad Friedman was in Kansas City this week. He is the creator and managing editor of the Brad Blog, www.bradblog.com, BRADBLOG.com. Brad is an investigative citizen journalist slash blogger, political commentator, and broadcaster. Just some of the many notable national stories he's broken on his blog include the White House website scrubbing, the story of the phony GOP front group, the American Center for Voting Rights, the e-voting machine sleepover controversy in San Diego's Busbee-Bilbray U.S. House special election, and his continuing coverage of electronic voting machine companies. With help from Kelly Cadillac, I met with Brad on Wednesday. We'll hear that conversation from him for the rest of the show, with more left over for a future show. And we'll break in with a Kansas City connection as he talks about a fellow named Thor Hearn of the law firm Lathrop & Gage.
Thor Hearn was Matt Blunt's right-hand legal guy, going back to his days when he was Secretary of State. And they've been sort of developing this voter fraud scam to push for these photo IDs now for years. And that's Thor Hearn. He's one of the top guys at Lathrop & Gage, the big legal firm out here in Kansas City, and they're in St. Louis. They're tied directly to the White House. As I said, Thor was the National General Counsel for Bush Cheney 04 Inc. And he's still back there, lying on behalf and scheming on behalf of Matt Blunt. You remember that investigation that was into the fee office scandals in Missouri. That was Todd Graves out here recused himself. It was given to the U.S. attorney. It was given to the U.S. attorney down in Arkansas, Bud Cummins.
And Todd Graves had some family connections.
Todd Graves, his wife and brother-in-law were into the fee office business to the tune of some $3 million, as I understand it. So he was a U.S. attorney, so he didn't take the case. Bud Cummins took it down in Arkansas. Meanwhile, back up here, Thor Hearn of Lathrop & Gage hires a former DOJ guy, White House guy, to be their attorney. the attorney's attorney, if you will, and he starts calling Bud Cummins to try to figure out, well, hey, what's going on? Are you bringing the hammer down on us or not? I mean, dirty business. And it is all, you know, smack dab in the center, ground zero. Missouri was ground zero, as McClatchy reported it, McClatchy News Service reported it back in May of this year. Missouri was ground zero for the 2006 election. And yet, that story of ground zero Missouri by McClatchy was not run in the KC Star, a McClatchy newspaper. It took folks 2 days to hammer them to run the story. When they did, they excised everything about Thor Hearn, about the fact that there was no Democratic voter fraud like the Republicans had been charging for years. They just snipped it right out of there.
I remember reading about that in a local blog, and I think I mentioned it on my show.
You might. I'm Fired Up Missouri. It covered it well, right? I've worked with those guys. They're doing a terrific job of being the media, and you know, and we found that they just. Not only did they excise all the stuff that was, frankly, critical of Republicans and the Republican National Party and local power players like Lathrop and Gage and Thor Hearn, but what they forgot to mention was give disclosure that they are clients of Lathrop and Gage.
The Star.
The Star.
Yeah.
That's their attorney. Don't you think they ought to have mentioned that before they hacked up a story that concerned Lathrop and Gage? I mean, it's remarkable. So, you know, we were talking about how they, Republicans, got this figured out coming and going. They're gaming the system before, during, and after, whether it's purging folks from the voting rolls, you know, making sure when they show up that they, you know, they ask for a photo ID, even if it's against the law, pushing laws behind the scene to require this photo ID, which, by the way, in Missouri alone, it would disenfranchise some 200,000 people, mostly Democrats, mostly minorities, elderly, urban dwellers, and so forth. Across the country, anywhere from 10 to 30 million voters would be disenfranchised from these photo ID laws that Thor Hearn, right here in Missouri, is pushing, not just in this state, but in states all across the country. It's a scam. And while I've said many times, whilst, you know, we've got men and women, troops around the world, supposedly out there fighting and dying to spread democracy, nobody's watching the store at home.
And speaking of the troops spreading democracy, we heard from Greg Palast about the caging list that disenfranchised a lot of voters in Iraq.
That's right.
Targeting black ones particularly.
Yep.
And when the House was questioning, what was her name, Monica?
Monica Goodling.
Monica Goodling.
She talked about the vote caging. She talked about the fact that Tim Griffin didn't, you know, who was appointed as a U.S. attorney down in Arkansas to take Bud Cummins' place, by the way, who they got rid of while he was looking into Lathrop and Gage here.
And almost nobody in Congress jumped on that.
They didn't.
She mentioned it,
except
one congresswoman right before her time.
I was watching that hearing live, and she talked about this, you know, voter caging that they hadn't been forthright about in other testimony. And the folks in folks in the House Judiciary Committee just scratched their head and said, well, what's voter caging? What's voter caging? You know, Palast had reported this stuff for the BBC prior to the 2004 election, you know, 3 years ago. And these guys in Congress, these Democrats, are asking, what's voter caging? Back in the 80s, I believe it was 1981 and 1986, the RNC had to agree to consent decrees when it was found that they had caged thousands of voters down in Louisiana, targeting minorities, sending them these certified letters and saying, you know, you can't forward it, you got to send it back to us. And when they don't send it back, for whatever reason, let's say they're off fighting in Iraq, they go and use that to challenge them at the polls. I mean, the Republicans have figured out that you need, you know, 50% plus one. And they will do anything they can to shave the votes, to get the votes, to win elections, because they figured out that elections matter. Democrats haven't quite figured that out yet. Or if they have, they've got this great faith in humanity that it can be done and done fairly and legally and we'll all play nicely together, not recognizing that, A, America has a very rich history of election fraud, And B, we're dealing with folks in Congress, in this Republican Party like we have never seen before. People who are willing to lie, cheat, and steal, do anything they can to hang on to power. Now, despite all of that, I've said many times, this is not about right and left. This is about right and wrong. I don't care who's doing it. And you've got many states, you've got elections officials, secretaries of states that are Democrats, and they're bringing in these crappy voting machines that don't work, these Diebold touchscreen machines down in Georgia. It was Democratic Secretary of State Kathy Cox that brought in those machines for the entire...
Hello.
Wow. Not to edit that out. For the entire state in Georgia. Up in Maryland, they brought in Diebold touchscreen machines for the entire state back in 2002. She was a Democratic state election director out there. So I don't care who it is. I really don't. We need to be able to count to count our votes, to count them accurately, and to make sure every citizen knows that the vote is counted correctly. We've gone through at least two election presidential elections now where you've got, to put it kindly, questions about the results. I'd suggest America cannot well survive a third questionable presidential election, and the only way we're going to get around that is to make sure that there is a paper ballot that is actually counted for every vote cast in America. Period. Paper ballot, not a paper trail, not a paper record like you see on these touchscreen machines. Those are useless. Those are never counted. That's the dirty little secret. It doesn't matter whether you use the touchscreen system and you think, oh, there's a paper trail, everything's going to be just fine. Wrong. It's not counted. And that's the difference. And that's why those touchscreen systems, so-called direct recording electronic devices, DREs, usually called touchscreens, are antithetical to democracy. Nobody, and I mean nobody, not even Superman, can see inside those voting machines and make sure, those touchscreen systems, to make sure that your votes are counted accurately. Can't be done.
Well, looking into this the last couple of years, I've been struck by the fact that, at least who I'm talking to, the people that are most expert on computers and software, make their living on it, love this stuff, are the ones most concerned about this, because they understand the advantages and shortcomings of this sort of technology.
They know how easy this is. I was actually a programmer myself for 10 years. Had no idea that it would come in handy doing this sort of work. It is that easy. Secretary of State Deborah Bowen in California, the new Secretary of State, came in on the promise to do a top-to-bottom review of every voting system certified in that state. And they used in California the same systems you guys use here in Missouri. Her team of independent computer scientists, the best in the world at the University of California, came back and they were able to violate both the physical and software security of every voting machine they tested in seconds. They were able to access the systems, take over the entire system, down to the tabulator level, by accessing, in many cases, just one machine, one voting machine. You could insert a virus that would propagate itself from machine to machine, like I said, down to the tabulator, flip an election without detection. A single person could do it. It's startling, and the fact that the Democrats aren't realizing what's going on here and aren't standing up and saying, enough is enough. We've got to ban these systems once and for all, period. Assure a paper ballot for every vote cast. They're slow to get it. They don't get it. So I'm trying to help them get it. Working on it.
Kansas City Election Board has a Republican director and a Democratic director, and then they have commissioners. The directors are more of a semi-permanent position that doesn't just change at each election, but the governor chooses the commissioners, both the Republican and the Democratic, or the Democratic governor. He chose both the Republican and the Democrat also. But
so we have to trust the governor that when he puts in a Democrat, that it's actually a Democrat.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
But the more permanent directors, I've had both of them on the show a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
The Republican one, whom I have known slightly since I was a child, and don't question his honesty or anything like that, but, you know, when I'm asking him about these machines, he talks about any kind of system can be subject to fraud. We used to have the lever machines when I first started voting for a number of years until just a couple of years ago. Very recently, we had the
punch cards. Any system can be defrauded. We've got a history of paper ballot stuffing and being found in the river and all of that stuff. That line comes straight from Diebold, straight from Sequoia, ES&S, these voting machine companies. Here's the difference between what he's talking about. Again, I didn't catch whether you said he was a Democrat or Republican. I don't care. What he's talking about is he's apologizing for these machines. He's trying to fool you into believing, well, they're all bad, so we'll just take this one. Nonsense. The difference was, if you wanted to game an election on a paper ballot system or on a lever system, you had to have a conspiracy. You had to commit retail fraud. You had to go ballot box to ballot box and stuff those things, right? There was a lot of people who had to be involved, and if they did it, there was evidence left behind that they did it. You could see, well, you know, 337 people voted at this precinct. However, we've got 497 ballots. How did that happen? Well, we've got evidence that they stuffed the ballot box. It took a lot of people. That was retail fraud. We're talking wholesale fraud. We're talking a single person hacking an entire election for an entire county without leaving a trace behind in 60 seconds' time. That's the difference. That's the difference. Back in the old days, there was evidence. You could go to the lever machine, you could look behind it, you could see that someone had jammed a pencil into the gears, and that was one way that you could defraud a lever machine. So when they tell you that, oh, they're all bad, and, you know, it's all about, they'll tell you the other thing, oh, it's about the procedures at the polls that we have, you know, because anything can be defrauded, but you have to have the right, security procedures on election day and so forth. They are misleading you. They're asking you to trust them. And I'm telling you, I don't care if you say he's honest. If he's really honest, he will tell you, don't trust me. You should not have to trust me. Our system is built on checks and balances and transparency. You know, and I tell the same thing to my readers at bradblog.com. I say, don't trust me. Make me prove it. You know, don't just believe me because I told you something. Look at the report. Here's the actual link to the actual report, or the photographs, or the evidence. For years, we have become complacent. We have thought in America that, well, the elections officials will take care of everything, and if they're not honest, the media will catch them, and they'll be our watchdog. Well, we know the media ain't going to catch them. We know they're not our watchdog anymore. And we know the elections officials who have put their career on the line, they've gone in and said to their counties and said, I've looked at all these voting machines. These Diebold machines are great. Give me $25 million. They're very, very secure. Now that they have been proven wrong, now that we know they are not secure, they are hackable, they're having a real tough time going out there and saying, yeah, you know what, I was wrong. You know, give me 25 more million so I can buy a different system and please don't fire me. Well, so they're in a bad place. Essentially, they, the elections officials at this point, are representing the voting machine companies. They've got the same interest. They are fighting for their lives. And when they tell you the procedures at the polls on election day will take care of any tampering, because we'll see them, we'll stop them, no one gets access to those machines, inappropriate access. Well, guess who has access around the clock to those machines? Those elections officials. And those voting machine company employees. And it is those folks, as with any other industry, it is the insiders that you have to be careful of. And in fact, there was James A. Baker, you know James Baker, and Jimmy Carter had a National Election Reform Commission that was put together in 2005. Now, it happened to have been put together by our friend Thor Hearn of Lathrop & Gage. So it was a phony baloney commission, and it was meant for a specific reason. But one of the things that they did find in that 2005 commission, in their final report, was that there's no reason to trust election insiders any more than in any other industry, and that beyond question of a doubt, the greatest threat to election security comes from the insiders. The same folks that you will hear telling you, nothing to worry about. Everything is fine. The election board directors that you talk to, they'll say everything is fine. Our procedures are in place. It's safe. A, nonsense. B, if it is safe, I don't care because I don't want to trust them. I want to know. As a citizen, we have the right to know. These are our elections. We have the right to know if they are counted accurately and fairly. And if they've got nothing to hide, and I don't think most of them do, then show us what you got. Be 100% transparent. Let us look at the ballots. Let us look at the counting procedures. Let us look at everything. Enough of the secret software that we now use, owned by these private companies, to count our vote. Enough. And yet they're able to get away with it. The elections officials are able to get away with it because a lot of folks who cover this in the media don't know. They don't know when they hear them out and out lying to them. They don't know any better. So they say, oh, okay. Joe Smith, the election director, says it's fair and nobody could possibly game the system. I guess I got to believe him.
And one would hope for real sharp, independent-minded election officials. But, for example, in Kansas City, when the Kansas City Election Board was looking at changing this under HABA, there was a tiny handful of activists who persuaded them to hold some public hearings, take some testimony. No media showed up, except for me. And some pretty eloquent testimony, but no media pressure.
And they did what they wanted anyway, didn't they?
And what did they want to do? Wasn't that heavily influenced by the national legislation of HABA, holding out all this money?
Oh, yeah.
Basically pushing these machines at them. Again, we'd hoped for more independent-minded officials, but in some practical sense, what choice did they have? All of the cards were stacked in favor of all this money pressure and political pressure to buy these machines.
Well, they did have a choice, actually. Because, you know, one of the things, in the early days of reporting on this, you saw a lot of mainstream media reports that said, well, the Help America Vote Act mandates electronic voting systems across the nation. It doesn't. You know, a lot of them, even worse, would say mandates touchscreen voting systems. It doesn't. You know, if they would just go read the damn law, you know, but the media, the corporate media, they go and they listen to what the elections officials and what the company lobbyist spokesmen tell them. And they believe it. I mean, this is an extraordinary scam that has been pulled across America to the tune of $3 billion they spent in HABA, which seems like a lot of money. In essence, it's only half a week in Iraq. But still, if you try to tell them now, we need to throw those machines out, throw them into the river, start over here, they'll say, oh, we can't do that. We can't waste all of this money.
Sunk cost, I think it counts.
Yeah. But, you know, what would you do if Deborah Bowen, actually, the California Secretary of State, had a great analogy she used the other day. When NASA finds a problem with the space shuttle, they don't say, well, you know, we spent all of this money. We got to launch the thing anyway. No. They scrub the project. They put it on hold. They figure out what the problem is. They figure out how to correct it. And then they do it. If they find out that a car, like a Pinto, blows up in the course of its average, its everyday use, when it gets hit from behind, they throw out the Pinto. They stop selling it. They don't do it. Same thing is going on here with our voting systems.
I think it's the lawsuits that forced them to do that when they didn't.
Well, you're right. Okay, you're right. But once they were caught, yeah. Because these machines don't work in their everyday use. If you look back at 2006, week after week through the election cycle, we'd have primaries across the country, and the systems were melting down. They weren't firing up. They weren't starting at all. They would break down throughout the day. And when that happens, voters can't vote. That doesn't happen with a paper ballot system where you can vote at any time. Go in there, right on the wall, right on your knee. You know, you don't have to have long lines. You can just fill out the ballot. When you're dealing with this electronic voting, that those days are over. And that's how you manipulate the system. The lines go around the block. people can't vote, they're disenfranchised, and a democracy lost.
One of the first shows that I did on electronic voting on the Heartland Labor Forum on this station a couple of years ago, Johnson County on the Kansas side had Diebold systems well before Kansas City did, when we still had the punch cards. And I had the head of the Johnson County Election Commission on the show defending that and talking about all the safeguards and some card at the hand of the voter that, you know, and wasn't particularly buying that. But then a year or two later, as Kansas City was about to buy into these things, I went to a meeting of local activists, and they had gotten some of the glossy
brochures
and stuff that were being given to the commissioners, and, you know, they had some public demonstrations that they were able to go to, and I'm flipping through a Diebold one, and there's a picture of this election commissioner from Johnson County who was basically a cover girl ad for Diebold. Do you hear of a lot of instances?
Oh, yeah. We've got Connie McCormick, the registrar of voters down in Los Angeles County, where I'm from. Los Angeles County is a huge county, biggest county in the country. That county alone is larger than two-thirds of the states in America. Connie McCormick is on that same brochure for Diebold, on the cover girl Connie, I call her, you know, shilling for these voting machines. What the hell is going on here? Kathy Cox, Democratic Secretary of State, former now Secretary of State of Georgia, was on the cover of the Diebold brochure.
Democratic,
yeah.
Like you said, it's not right-left, it's Democrat, Republican, it's a problem.
It's right. It's not right-left, it's right and wrong. And so these guys are shilling for these companies. They are in bed with them, and when you find out the machines don't work, who's going to hold them accountable? The officials who are on their sales brochure? You're kidding, right? That ain't going to happen. And that's the relationship we're in now. So when you hear an election official talking about these machines, you know, it reminds me of the old, you know, saying about producers in Hollywood. Isn't there a book called Hello, He Lied?
That's kind of rings a bell.
Yeah, it kind of rings a bell. That's the situation that we're in. It is that bad, and I'm sure I sound worked up about this, but having reported on it now 24/7 for the last 3 years, and seeing what these folks are doing, seeing them now dead to rights, and I mean every single one of these companies, seeing them come out and answer to scientific studies by repeating some nonsense, and that you can compare almost word for word what the voting machine company spokesmen and women say to what the elections officials say. Word for word, it's almost the same damn thing. So guess what? Both of them are demonstrably lying. Who's going to hold them accountable?
Well, you mentioned the California Secretary of State, and that's been in bradblog.com rather prominently the last few days.
Yep.
Fill us in a little bit on what's going on there.
Well, she made this promise to do a top-to-bottom review of every voting machine certified in the state, in California, or as Diebold calls it, the world's largest voting market. And true to her word, she won that election. The people actually put her in there because she was the only, Democrat to unseat a sitting Republican in the last November's election in California, statewide office. The guy she beat was handpicked by Arnold Schwarzenegger, very popular, and he was rubber stamping every single machine. Anyway, Bowen came in, true to her word, commissioned this study with UC Berkeley. They looked at they did for the first time an independent study that actually did a hack test of these systems, red team attacking, they call it. They found that the systems were vulnerable within seconds. They were able to break into both the physical and software security of the systems. They looked at a source code review, and they found out that, for example, there's an undocumented access point for the Diebold employees who can remotely access those machines without a password and without ever being discovered.
But they wouldn't.
They would never do anything like that. Right.
Trust me.
Yeah. And this only happened because she, as Secretary of State, had the right to look at the source code. You, a human being, a citizen, a mere mortal who's paying for that source code, by the way, through your tax dollars, you want to look at it? Good luck trying to get it. No, sir. That's secret.
Corporate proprietary.
Corporate proprietary. None of your damn business. Even though you paid for it, bought it, and you use it to run your... Theoretically, it's used to run your democracy. They also studied the accessibility of these systems for disabled voters. If you remember the Help America Vote Act, one of the things that it required was one disabled voter accessible voting system in every polling place. And this they used to say, well, this is why we need the touch screens for, you know, disabled voters. It has audio for blind voters and so forth, so they can vote independently and privately. Now, I'm in favor of any American being able to vote independently and privately. But to use this scam as a reason that everyone in America has to vote on touchscreen DRE voting systems, which are antithetical to democracy, it's a scam. I hate to use the word over and over again, because Deborah Bowen found in her accessibility study done by University of California that the damn machines don't even meet the basic accessibility requirements of the Help America Vote Act.
And that's one of the things I think I was pretty disappointed with some of us in activists for concern about voting machines, is maybe not trying to work more with the handicapped community, who we kind of spurned them and they kind of embraced these machines.
You know what? I think they got a bad rap because they spurned actually a lot of everybody else. And it wasn't the entire disabled community, but it was some key players at the top. The National Federation for the Blind, they received $1 million from Diebold. Jim Dixon, this guy who shows up, blind guy who shows up in every, you know, congressional hearing, he represents the AAPD, American Association for Disabled People. They received thousands of dollars from Diebold. So what do you know? He shows up at meetings, says, oh my gosh, I'm blind. I must vote on a touchscreen machine, and I want no paper trail whatsoever because I can't read it. And these are the folks with access. They're the ones who are lobbying, and they're working very close with People for the American Way. Normally, a group that I, you know, appreciate what they're doing, on this one, they got it all wrong because they've gotten into bed with Jim Dixon and, you know, those folks. If you talk to independent disabled voting experts, they'll tell you no. You know, one fella I talked to, a blind gentleman down in Florida, who said, you know, I may be blind, but I'm not stupid. I want my vote to be counted accurately and to be recountable just like anyone else. So it really is a scam. And remember, one of the things, for example, that Deborah Bowen found in California for the accessibility was the machines aren't even high enough to get a wheelchair under. This is something they could have figured out with a tape measure, you know, when they tested them, theoretically, at the federal and state levels. And this is the other thing you hear from elections officials. Oh, these machines are thoroughly tested at both the federal and state level. Nonsense. They're not. Nobody tests these machines. There's a group called the ITA, Independent Testing Authority, who tests them, theoretically, on the federal level. Well, they're not independent. They don't do much testing, and they're not particularly authoritative. They're actually paid for by the voting machine companies. They, you know, pay them to test the machines, and they only test the things that the voting machine companies tell them to look at. And if they fail those tests, it stays private. It doesn't get released publicly. So there's another scam. You know, had they, and you had this problem here in Missouri, I'm trying to figure it out. I've been talking to the Secretary of State's office on this. She says that she had a professor took a look at these systems and looked at the source code years ago when they were certified for use here in Missouri. Well, who was this? And if they looked at the source code, how could they not see everything that the folks out in California found in a heartbeat when they looked at these things?
And even if, yeah, by some miracle it was okay then, which I doubt, what it control is there of... Yeah. Revisions to the software subsequent to that.
And they are constantly revised, constantly. And we found this, just a few days ago. Again, going back to California, where you finally got someone who's taken this seriously. They found that the AutoMark system, which is a touchscreen system, but it's not a direct recording electronic device. In other words, it doesn't record the vote internally. It actually prints out a paper ballot that can then be counted by by hand, by op scan, whatever you like. Okay. So it's a better system, I think, for disabled voters.
Okay, and there's more of Brad Friedman, but I'm about out of time, so I'm probably going to run another significant segment of that one next week. And Brad, I guess I didn't get the lightning strike edited out, but I thought it added a little drama to the whole affair. Like I said, I'll have more Brad Friedman probably next Friday. I've got Mayor Funkhauser coming up. Lots of good things coming up in the coming weeks. Also, Monday morning, you should generally be listening to that anyway, but Vicki Walker, I think, might have a little with Brad Friedman also from a media reform angle on the Media Watchdog show. And I'll see you on the radio next week.